Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Saints Augustine and Jerome were more or less contemporaries, but did not see eye to eye sometimes, as our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, explains. Stay tuned as we begin by joining Saint Jerome. Augustine and Jerome lived vaguely at the same time.
No, Jerome is older than Augustine.
I know that, but
333, 354, he's about, let's
20
say, 20 years.
Yeah.
Older than Augustine, yeah.
So let's begin with Jerome then. Jerome is often depicted as an emaciated figure with a skull in his
hand. Well, that's his thing, yeah, out in the desert like, like a hermit in the desert where he was studying with the lions and all. I know there are about 1,000 pictures of Jerome with the lions.
What'd you say, an amazing...
Well, he mentions this, and he was tempted, and he went out in the desert, like, to do penance or something to get away from temptations and all this other stuff. That's why Jerome is painted that way.
Okay, well, can we translate this sentence? Jerome was an emaciated figure holding a skull, ever immersed in books.
Bella figura macellenta, quae... Cranium tenebat libris semper deditus. That you can say easily. He's a great man.
You mentioned the lion.
A horrible man. You couldn't live with him at all.
Why?
Oh, he was very, very rough.
No, he wasn't. He took a fawn out of a lion's paw once.
Yeah, I understand. He took out the nail. I know. This is in Bethlehem. And the lion stayed with him for the rest of his life.
So can we say that in Latin?
No.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. So it extracts it, spinam de leonis pede.
And?
In qui eum totam per vitam est comitatus, who accompanied him through his whole life. The lion stayed with him.
And he was nicknamed the lion.
Yeah, I mean, because of this whole thing, that this is all in history, I mean, stories, and the artist come along and made a whole story out of this.
How do you say nickname in Latin?
Agnomentum, I know, agnomen. Agnomen, like a...
A little name.
An offside name.
Do you have a nickname?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
The Latin lover.
Oh, poopas. I don't care, go on.
You were saying that he didn't have a very attractive personality. Was it because he had...
It was just his personality. He was a very rough man. He was rough. You'd say he'd never be canonized today. Mm. I mean, he was just his mannerism and everything else was very gruff and rough.
Gruff and rough. How'd you say
rough
that?
Gruff and
Latin?
Rough. Okay, here we go.
You said it, I didn't.
Asper et durus.
He had a caustic pen. And
well, that's
didn't,
it, certainly.
Didn't spare the loose living clergy of his time, right?
Oh, no, he has 1,000 letters and everything else against. Oh, yes, famous things about the De Moribus Clericorum. Ooh. It's incredible that clergy... it's very, very contemporaneous. I love him. Clergy should not go to fancy restaurants with clerics. I mean, no, people should not go to fancy restaurants with clerics. Clerics should not go with rich people to fancy restaurants. No, he doesn't. He can't stand that stuff. I like him very much.
When he wrote, I said that he had a caustic pen. How would you say that?
Of
somebody. How would you say that Jerome?
Stilum acerbum. A bitter pen. Acrem. Or acutum stilum. A pen which is sharp. Oh, you should hear the way he and Augustine, of course, had the famous fight. And that's what we do.
But who started the fight?
Augustine. Rome was translating the New Testament. No, I mean the Bible, or adapting the Bible. And Augustine saw this stuff and he said, "You're ruining the faith. You're destroying everything we know." And Augustine, as a pastor, bishop, was not happy with the scholarship of Jerome. And of course, in the end, Jerome said, "You be a good bishop and I'll be a scholar and mind your own business." And, of course, Jerome was right, and Augustine was wrong, as far as, you know, the scholarship of the Bible goes. Jerome was saying, this word is not right, and I'm changing it to this word, you see. Well, Augustine didn't know about that stuff at all. So that's why, and the correspondence back and forth.
He was attentive to rhetoric, was he, Jerome?
I mean, what do you mean, rhetoric? Well, I mean, he knew how to express himself. Phony rhetoric, no. Absolutely
not. How'd you say phony rhetoric?
Okay. Falsa retorica.
Well, that's easy, isn't it?
That's easy. Yeah, that's all right. And
there's a story about him taking a stand against Pelagianism, no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He and Augustine. Oh.
What was Pelagianism?
Well, Pelagius. Well, now Pelagius is almost going to be canonized. But in those days, Pelagius, he's from Spain, if I'm not mistaken. And he kind of went so far as to say, listen, now God is responsible for our good actions. However, our own goodwill, you know, our own disposition, our own desire, our own determination is also responsible for our good actions. And we can merit and be good, not on our own, but almost by our own volition. And, of course, Jerome and Augustine lost their minds with this because it didn't work so much with Scripture. Pelagius is very popular today. He would say you can become a saint not on your own, but you decide to be good and you can be good. And Augustine would say, no, God is responsible for your goodness and your sanctity. And Pelagius said, no, we are responsible somewhat for our sanctity and our goodness. And so that was the big clash. And then they had semi-Pelagianism, where they said, well, the beginning of your goodwill may be your own business, but then God has to help you to finish this. That was kind of halfway. Well, now it would be just the opposite. And Jerome and Augustine spent their lives ripping apart Pelagius. Well, now he would be just about, I won't say canonized, but he was a nice guy and was not bad. And he said, I can be good on my own, you see. That's what they didn't
like. Well, I read that when Jerome took a stand against Pelagianism, this wasn't a very popular move. And apparently people entered his monastery setting fire to it.
Oh, we're in Bethlehem? I mean, out in the east there, I imagine.
Yeah. And
because of that, I don't remember that.
And he narrowly escaped by barricading himself into a tower.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
How do you say that
story
in Latin?
I never.
How do you say fire escape? Or
No. Seque eripuit in turim includendo. I didn't hear that story, but I can imagine, because it was very popular. It would be today extremely popular, Pelagianism. That's why some people would say, listen, maybe we should restore, like Galileo, you know. Maybe we should restore Pelagius. He wasn't a bad guy, and Jerome and Augustine were a little kind of overdoing it. Well, that's another story.
He was a student of the author Donatus, who wrote the Ars Grammatica, no?
Jerome was.
Yes.
Yeah, certainly here. No, certainly.
Well, what was this Ars Grammatica? Because it was used up to the 16th century, no?
I mean, there's a Donatus was the grammarian, and everyone in the world to study Latin, you had to go to Donatus's school. So Jerome was here in Rome, and yeah. And he had the Donatus. Donatus was, you know, like, I don't know, Rostropovich with the cello or something like this, or Herbert von Karajan was directing classical music. You just have to go to this man's school to learn well. And so everyone had to go to Donatus' school to learn the niceties of Latin. Of course, this is the 4th century already.
And is this grammar still valid today?
Basically, yes, for sure. Of course, they did grammars, and now they have two grammars in a different, horrible way. If they had stuck with Donatus, we would be better off today. But the famous thing is Donatus, Donatus. You just quoted Donatus. I'm one of Donatus's people, and oh.
And my thanks there go, as always, to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster, who is now currently in the United States, but who spent most of his life in the Vatican as papal Latinist. I'm Veronica Scarsbrick.